This message, hallelujah, the message we're going to preach today sometimes gets pushed against. Sometimes it just happens, and sometimes it's funny because I'm looking around, I see a lot of empty chairs, and that can happen. How many of you know that? Because sometimes there's something going on that's trying to keep folks from hearing a message you're going to hear today. Amen. And that's okay. Is that right? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're recording it. It's going to be on the internet, so that's all right. Amen. Praise God. Hopefully some folks are going to get a hold of the message today. I believe God has a word for us this morning because, like I've said oodles of time, God is building us and strengthening us for days to come. How do you know that? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so we're going to need strength. How do you know that? We've been talking about strength. We've been talking about confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is trying to build us and strengthen us because there are days coming, folks. There's days coming that what's within you needs to be coming out. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's, and we're going to show, the world is going to see a different kind of church body that's in the world. Amen. How many know that? God said in His Word, He says, "My glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." And His glory is at rest in you. It's sitting in you. Do you know that? How many know that? That's where the glory is. The glory is called the Holy Spirit. What you feel this morning, that's the glory. How many say, amen? Hallelujah. And we, folks, we're designed to go from glory to glory, from glory to glory. The glory gets better and better and better and better. How many know that? Hallelujah. That's why you guys come back to church. Amen? Because the glory, that's why people should be getting back in the house. That's why people should be going back to church, because they're feeling that glory, sensing more glory, sensing more glory, sensing more strength. How many of you feel stronger today than you were at this time last year? Is that right? Folks, that's God, there's an intent in that. God wants you strong. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants you focused. Amen. It's hard to focus when your big toe is hurting. Is that right? Yeah. You got an ingrown nail right now poking at you. Is that right? It's hard to focus on what God's trying to say. But let me tell you, God is asking us. He's telling us, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Pay attention to what, because folks, it's just not on Sunday morning, but it's all week long. You're hearing little messages. You're hearing all these things are going on in your life. And God is speaking and He's saying, pay attention, because I am building a body that looks different than the world's ever seen. And it's crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, we ain't seen it yet. How many know that? The world has not seen it yet. They saw it one time when Jesus walked on the earth. Amen. This is what the redeemed looks like. This is what a redeemed man looks like. Amen? Praise God. So get ready. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you right now into... We're going to talk about Pentecost. And so I'd like to take you into Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Oh, man. We're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist. Amen. Forerunner for Jesus. How many know that? John the Baptist was the forerunner. And what John the Baptist was preaching is very, very important to us today, and especially in what we're talking about today. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence in our lives, Lord. Lord, this morning as we look at Your Word, Father, we ask You, Father, to speak to our hearts. Father, I ask You, Father God, that You would speak to every heart that's in the building, Lord God. Every heart has an avenue that's different, Father, and You know all about it. So, Father, as we get into Your Word, Father, Holy Spirit, do what You do. Do what only You can do. Minister in those needs in the deepest way this morning. We thank You for it, God, and we praise You for it. If you agree, say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 11 in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is saying, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen. Hallelujah. John the Baptist preaching, saying that Jesus, the one that's coming after me, he says, "I can't even untie a shoe I can't even carry his shoe. I'm not worthy for that. Amen? Praise God. And he says, I baptize you with water under repentance. He says, but he that comes after me is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I mean, we had a baptism not too long ago in here. Amen? And one of the things I've been praying since then, and if you ever get it, I don't know how many of you actually listen to some of the messages that are being preached here, but if you go back and listen, you're going to hear something that I've been speaking to you in the message almost every Sunday. And that word is this. It says, it's receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Another week will go by and you're going to hear it in it, where I said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I believe there's a purpose in that. I believe that what I'm speaking to you, some of you have the baptism in the Holy Spirit and some of you don't. And what John is talking about here, that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John said, I will baptize in water, but Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. How many know that John the Baptist said this? I must decrease and he must increase. What does that mean? John says, I must decrease and he must increase. What does that mean in your life? Is that the same thing for you? I must decrease and he must increase? Is that right? Amen. What are we to increase in, does the Word of God tell us? The Word of God tells us that we are to increase in the knowledge of him. Is that right? I must decrease and he must increase. We need to be increasing in the knowledge of what Christ has done, how the kingdom works. How many know that? Hallelujah. So these are some nice things about the Word of God. One of the things that Jesus had to do was he had to help his disciples to understand where he was coming from. How many of you know when Jesus was talking, it's hard to understand where he's coming from? Is that right? How many of you have ever had a hard time understanding where this is coming from? Has anybody ever been like that? Some of you won't admit it, but it's okay. I remember when I could not pick up a Bible and read and understand what it was saying. I could read the stories, Jonah. I could read that. That's okay. I could understand that. Noah's Ark. I could understand that. That was okay. But when it came into Corinthians and all these other things, I go, what is this guy talking about? I couldn't understand it. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit began to work with me and talk with me and speak to me that I began to understand the Word of God. I had to receive Jesus into my heart. When the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and I received him into my heart, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon me. Before I even made that commitment to him, yes, Lord, I accept you into my heart. Before I even did that, the Holy Spirit was already coming upon me, speaking things to me. Somebody would come from the mind and talk to me a little bit about God's Word. Dude, I'm a Catholic, man. But yet those words that he was saying, the Spirit of God was coming upon me and changing and doing something to me. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. But it's because, you know why, folks? It's spiritual. How many know that? Sometimes spiritual things just don't click up here. How many know that? Is that right? They just don't. Hallelujah. So I would say that we have a generation. There's been a generation in the churches that because it doesn't click up here, they say it's not true. But I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God teaches that it is true. It is true. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Truth. Man. So he must increase and I must decrease. What I think when it comes to God, I don't really think it matters with God what I think. Amen? Well, Lord, I don't think I need to go to church every Sunday, Lord. You know what I mean? And you know, I'm not getting on anybody. Don't say it. But you know, the Word of God says, don't forsake gathering yourself together with. You don't have to go to church every Sunday, you know. But get together with the body of Christ once in a while. Love people. Love God. Amen. Hear what God is saying, because God will speak to the body of believers in the church. Is that right? We come to church so we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why we go to church. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can worship God up in the mountains. Yeah, you can worship God, you know, at the racetrack, at the football field. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, that's fine. But know that God says, I have a message that I'm giving to the churches. And sometimes you need to be in church. Amen? I don't even know why this went this way. Don't ask me. Somebody in here. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. So Malachi chapter 3, the first verse, Malachi 3 verse 1 says, Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Talking about John the Baptist, amen? And now, if you look at it very good, it switches. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall, what's that word? Suddenly. Shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Look at that. Look at what he's saying here. He says, the messenger of the covenant. Who is that? That is the Holy Spirit. Amen? That Holy Spirit is given by Jesus. Amen? When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father said to him, sit down right here, son. Come on, son, sit here. Until I make your enemies your footstool. And I imagine the Father says to the Son, you know, Son, it's time. Send to them our Holy Spirit. Send to them the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Bible says that He came suddenly. Amen? That He comes suddenly. Oh, man. I feel like jumping ahead, but I'm not going to because it's good. Hallelujah. The messenger of the covenant, that is the Holy Spirit, folks. Sometimes we think that men are teaching us and everything. They're giving us words. Men are inspiring us, but the inspiration comes only from the Holy Spirit. You cannot be inspired unless the Holy Spirit does it for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you got to hear me when I say that. Make sure you know where your inspiration is coming from. Make sure you know that it is God inspiring you. Amen? Hallelujah. This is where we get into trouble. This is where for years we have played. Well, do you listen to this brother? No. Well, I don't listen to that brother. I listen to this brother. He's better. Oh, well, I listen to this brother over here. He's better. I'm going to say this. You need to cut those off. Quit doing that and allow only the Holy Spirit to be your leader. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. That's why we teach you independently dependent upon God, that you hear what God is saying to you personally, because He will speak to you personally. Amen. That's what He wants to do. Hallelujah. So, verse 2 says, But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Hallelujah. Offering a offering in righteousness. Does God want an offering that's right? Yes. He does. Amen. The Bible says that in one place where God was God after them, He says, "Hey, why are you giving me the worst of your flock, the sick of your flock? Why are you sacrificing a lamb that's got a broken leg or one eye? Sorry. Why are you doing that?" He says, offer them now to your governor and see what he tells you. Is that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. We are to give the best of what we got. Amen. Oh, man. Hallelujah. We are to give an offering in righteousness. And righteousness is just being right. Amen. Just knowing that this is right. Hallelujah. That's what righteousness is about. Doing what's right. Hallelujah. What Jesus teaches you, doing what's right. Amen. And He wants offerings in righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and He begins to speak to you, do you know that He comes in to purify you? He comes to wash you. Is that right? Amen. How many know we all got little stuff in us that needs to be cleaned out? Is that right? Yeah, little stuff under the nails, a little stuff in between the teeth. You know, just, you know, we all have little stuff. We got a little impurities and stuff. And how do you know that the Holy Spirit knows where they are? Amen. And if you'll allow him to, he will come in and begin to clean house. Amen. That's what I love about the Holy Ghost. When he comes, how many know this is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Everybody point to your body. Just hold. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Just say that. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, this is your temple. Yeah. Say, Lord, take out of it whatever you want. Clean this thing. Amen. Clean this thing. Hallelujah. 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 Remember when Jesus, when Peter told Jesus and Jesus was going to wash his feet, and he says, you're not going to wash my feet. He says, no, I have to. He says, you're all clean by the words that I've spoken to you. You're clean. He says, but not all of it. I got to get the dirt off your feet. It's a picture. It's a picture of the world, of how the world affects us. Where we walk in this world, the dust that comes on us and everything, there's just a cleansing and a washing that God continually wants to do with by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know that? And it's you continually going into the presence of God and finding God and allowing him to speak to you, you begin to get these little times of refreshing. How many like taking showers? None of you. That's funny. No. I was wondering what smelled in here. No, I was just kidding. Yeah. How many like taking showers? Come on, man. Aren't they refreshing? Yeah, you come out of the shower and you're feeling, man, I'm feeling good. You come out, yeah, shh. How many dance in the shower? Yeah. And that refreshing, times of refreshing, when God comes and speaks into your heart, it's like taking a nice clean shower, man. And he washes things from you. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to just focus in on this word where it says, suddenly, it says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you, what?
Seek.
Delight. The word is delight. Delight. Anybody ever been delighted? You ever been like that? I'm going to tell you, this is what the word is. The Hebrew word is kafets. K-H-A-Y-F-E-T-S, if in case you're taking notes. Kafets. It means desire, count as valuable, pleasurable, favorable, to be kept in mind. Isn't that cool? That reminds me of when the first day I saw my wife, 15 years old. She's coming over to my school to play softball against our girls' softball team. And I see her walking. I go, oh my, who is that? And my friends, my good friends, oh, don't even think about it. Her boyfriend is the top. He's the captain of the basketball team, captain of the football team, and plus, he's a Golden Gloves boxer. You don't want to mess with him. And I'm this little chubby eighth grader, man. I said, my goodness, who is this girl? I took delight in her. You know what I mean? Every time I turned around, I was trying to see where she was at. You guys, come on, guys. You guys, girls, you guys remember that. You guys remember courtship, is that right? You're courting that person. You remember, man, you look across the room to see if they're looking at you. You guys remember that, huh? That's cool. Yeah, come on, man. That's right. It's something that I couldn't get out of my mind. Do you guys remember? You guys know that? When I was thinking about her, it affected my whole life. I was continually thinking about her. I learned about her, who she was, where she lived, how many brothers and sisters she had before she even knew who I was. Yeah, I was a stalker, I guess. but I got to tell you, I was Twitter-pated. Is that the right word? I fell in love, and there was a desire. I mean, something happened to me. I fell in love. I really did. She didn't even know me. Crazy, man. It's a long story that happened. But I'll tell you something. This is the kind. How many of you remember stuff like that? Amen. Anybody remember that? I want to tell you something. This is what it's talking about here. The one that you desire. The Lord whom you seek, even the messenger of the tabernacle, the one that you desire. Hallelujah. He will come in. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, a lot of this, a lot of the baptism in the Holy Spirit depends on how you desire. It's just how do you desire? How bad do you want God just to do everything that he wants to do in you? How bad do you want it? Is it enough that you say, Lord, I don't care what it is. If your word says it, I'll take it. Is it enough for that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you're patient with God, amen? I want to tell you something. If you're patient, and if you pray, and if you talk to the Lord, I got me and my wife, amen? Hey, it's not that I'm a strategist, not that I know how to get it done. Hey, God knows the desires of your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Is that correct?
Yeah, amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Hallelujah. Look at the scripture. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is in the book of Luke, right after Jesus was raised from the dead. This is not in red letters, okay? This is just Luke speaking. He says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And I was saying, Lord, well, how'd you do that? You know, how'd you do that, Lord? So if you look at John, go to the book of John and verse 21 and 22. I want you to see this. John, then again, chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. This will work good up here, man. Says this, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And then he says this to him, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And then it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Is that cool? And said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. This is what I was telling you earlier. I believe this is a pattern on how to do things. I believe Jesus was showing us something about, I'm going to tell you, how many loved ones you have say, God, you just got to get them. Father, just, you know, when you get you got loved ones, and you're not sure what's going on in their life, just go ahead and breathe on them. Tell them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. They don't have to be around when you're around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll call on a George. How you call on a George? Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Out there, there's going to be 40 Georges out there that's going to hit the... Praise God. I don't know. No, but do you see what he's saying? In one place, he said that he opened their understanding. But then in another place, he said, how do you open their understanding? He spoke to them. He breathed something to them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I love it. Because how many know it takes the Holy Spirit to open our understanding? Come on. The Word of God says, in Revelation, John is just standing there and the angel's talking to him. And he says, I heard a noise. It got quiet in heaven. And then he heard a voice saying, who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to open the book and to untie the seals that are upon the book? Hallelujah. And it stayed quiet. And John, looking around, didn't see anything. He began to weep. He began to cry. And then the messenger, the angel, was standing next to him. Hey, don't cry, bro. The Lamb of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the seals. Amen. And the Bible says when he looked down there, and he saw a lamb has been slain. Hallelujah. And he opened those seals. And folks, it is the Holy Spirit that's been given by Jesus that opens the book to us, opens our understanding. Amen? Is that cool? Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you now into Leviticus so that we can just kind of hope Holy Spirit can help us understand something here. Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to talk about the Feast of Weeks. Leviticus 23. Hallelujah. Pentecost is actually in the Old Testament called the Week of Feasts. I'm sorry, the Feast of Weeks, and it's also called the Feast of the First Fruits. Hallelujah. The Jewish nation, of all the feasts, this is the one that is not paid as much attention to as all the other feasts for some reason. Because actually, because the Jewish nation don't have the harvest times like they used to have over in Israel. As far as their wheat harvest and their barley harvest. But this is what it says in here about the Feast of Weeks. Starting at verse 15, it says, "And you shall count to you from the morning after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, even seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even to the morning after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days." Everybody say 50.
50.
Yeah, "and you shall offer a new meat offering to the Lord." Everybody say new meat.
New meat.
And then verse 17 says, "And you shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord, unto the Lord." Hallelujah. I got such a charge looking at this. He says that you will count from the morning after the Sabbath. And then, you know, the Jewish nation have been, you know, going through Sabbath. Sabbath was a Saturday, is that correct? Yeah, Sabbath was a Saturday. So he said, the morning after the Sabbath, you will count 7 weeks. 7 times 1 is what? 7 times 2. 7 times 3.
21.
7 times 4. 28. 7 times 5. 7 times 6. 7 times 7, 49 days. And then he says, do it the day after. How many days is that?
50
days. 50 days after the Sabbath. And I'm going to say, when we're looking at it today, after what Sabbath? Ooh, come on, everybody. The Sabbath. Remember that they had to get Jesus off the cross and everything because they were in preparation for the Sabbath? Ooh, yeah, come on, man. And the scriptures have been teaching and telling them 50 days after that, 50 days after that, you're going to celebrate a new meat offering. Amen? Hallelujah. 50 days after that Sabbath, you will bring out two loaves and you're going to wave them. Hallelujah. How do you like that? Hallelujah. Jeez. Let me give you a little picture of it. don't eat these, okay? Two hot dog buns. Oh, you can't shake them either. Praise the Lord. Two wave offerings. Hallelujah. Praise God. These were the wave offerings that the priest would. It wasn't all the people that would bring out these. It was the priest would bring these guys out. It was something that was, why two? Because there was something new that was going on. Hallelujah. I want you to look. I want you to show you a few scriptures where it says right here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. "Then he said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure," what? "Old things and new things." I'm going to tell you something. Let's just say this is, I got to get a whole one. sorry, dude, broke you. Let's say this is the Old Testament. And the Word of God is telling us that you're going to begin to take something new with the old. And we teach, how many know that we teach out of the Word of God? We teach out of the Old Testament, we teach out of the New Testament. Is that right? Amen. We are bringing these two together. The two at that time, when they were talking about, there was only the Old Testament. Is that right? But the Scriptures have been telling them, look, it's going to happen. It's going to be, there's going to be two breads. Hallelujah, Old Testament and New Testament. The things that Christ has done, it's going to mix. And you're going to find something very, very powerful in the earth. Amen. How very special to us. Amen. Let me show you another scripture on this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. He didn't come to destroy the word of God, did he? No way. He came to do what? I have come to fulfill it. I'm going to give you two. And then the words that he speaks and the words that Jesus speaks, all of a sudden we hang our lives on them. Is that right? Is that correct? Why? Because he's the word of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, man. Two loaves out there waving. Got no idea what they're doing. They're just waving loaves because God said, wave these loaves. Wave these things. Because something's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. There's one other thing that, if you would put up Acts chapter 10, 15. If you remember when Peter was had gone to Joppa and he was at Simon the Tanner's house. And while he was there, the Lord showed him a vision. And it was a bunch of animals come down in a big sheet. And when it got to him, it opened up and there was all these unclean animals, according to Peter. And the Holy Spirit said, rise, Peter, and eat. And Peter goes, oh, Lord, for nothing ever unclean has ever touched these lips. Nothing. Uh-uh, I won't eat. And the Lord said this to them. He says, and the voice spoke to him the second time and said, what God has cleansed, you cannot call common. Don't you dare call it common. I love the scripture because in the two wave offerings, what God was doing was taking the Jewish nation and bringing the Gentiles in, who we are a part of. How many of you know that? We are Jews. Grafted in, but the Gentiles come in and say, hey, yeah. So there's two wave offerings. You get that? Hallelujah. It's two wave offerings that they waved before the Lord. Folks, they were waving us. Can you get that? Hallelujah. He was, this is what God is saying. He says, I will do a work and I will write my word upon them, upon their hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost. This is what I got off the internet. Is that okay? Can I get stuff off the internet? Pentecost, actually, this says it happened on June 6th, A.D. 33. Isn't that crazy? When the Holy Spirit came from heaven and filled them in the upper room. 50 days after that Sabbath. What Sabbath? The Sabbath when Jesus died on the cross. 50 days after that came the new wave offering and a new meat offering. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I get excited about that. So let's go. Let's move to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24. Verse 49. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this to them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Amen? Hallelujah. Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Tarry in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. Jerusalem. What is that city? It is a city of God. It is a chosen city of God. Is that right? Amen. There's another name for it. It's called Zion. Is that right? Hallelujah. And see, the folks, the Bible says to tarry in Jerusalem. Can you tarry in Jerusalem from here? Absolutely, yes. You can. You can get into the presence of God. There's a place in this. I should have looked it up, but I can sense it coming. But the Word of God says this. My feet shall stand, my feet shall stand within thy walls, O Jerusalem. And then he talks about there are thrones of judgment there, is what he says. He's talking about the new Jerusalem in heaven. How many know that? There's a Jerusalem that we stand in. When you go and you stand before God in his presence, you know where you're standing? You are standing in the new Jerusalem. You're standing there. Hallelujah. Spiritually, you're in there, man. Praise God. Is that right? You have been given the right to get there. You really have, by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can stand. My feet will stand in thy courts. Hallelujah. Come into his courts with singing. Is that right? And into his gates with what? Praise. See, he's always constantly bidding us to come in. Come in. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're coming into the new Jerusalem. When you're on your, when you're next to your bed there in Green Valley, Arizona, Sarita, or even Amado, hallelujah, you are in the New Jerusalem. Rio Rico too, yeah, praise God. I mean, even in Bisbee, hallelujah, praise God.
Yuma,
come on, there you go, hallelujah, praise God. Till you tarry, till you be endued. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, remember that word suddenly? The messenger of the covenant shall suddenly come into his temple. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, man, a lot of folks, right? We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Ernest and Julio Gallo. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and listen to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And I love this. It shall come to pass in the last days. How many of you know we're in the last days? How many know that? In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall what? Come on, hallelujah. That's why them little ones in there, hallelujah, get ready. We're going to bring them out here so they can prophesy to us. Amen? Come on, man. I'm serious. The Spirit of God does those things. Hallelujah. And out of a pure and clean heart, come on, bring on the kids. Suffer the children to come. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. He says this, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and the young men shall see visions. How many have seen visions? Come on. God is wanting to give you a vision. And your old men shall dream dreams. I know, we'll keep on. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many say? Amen. Who, it shall come to pass that whosoever. Hallelujah. Remember the two loaves? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you also yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Hallelujah. I love this. When the Spirit of God came and hit the earth, amen, these men were changed. Is that right? Now, the Word of God says that that Spirit of God came upon them and they began to prophesy and they began to speak with other tongues. Amen? Hallelujah. I was in my bedroom one night praying in the Spirit and I could have sworn, I said, man, I sound like Hitler. I mean, it sounded like a German tongue. You know what I mean? It just sounded that way. And while I was praying, and I noticed it. It was crazy. I said, God, what am I saying? What am I saying? I didn't know. Hallelujah. And you know what? I remember before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I found out that when I read the scriptures about the Holy Spirit, I said, God, count me in. I want it. Amen. When I told my pastor I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They prayed for me. They oiled me. They told me to sit down. They told me lay down. They prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And I'm saying, and they're saying, well, let it out, say something. And so I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. But all I know is that I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want it. And God, I don't know. God, how do I get it? God, what do I got to do? What is it, God? Hallelujah. One morning, it was during the week sometime, I was on swing shift, and I had a horse and a cow. I had two horses and one cow, babe. And I got up in the morning, and I went out there to feed the horses and do my chores. And I'm singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And I grab a leaf of hay and I walk over to the trough where they're at. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And when I threw it over the fence, all of a sudden out of my mouth came these, oh, shalamasikia shateke. And I stopped. It felt good. And I ran in the house. I called my pastor. I said, Pastor Dave, I said, I was out feeding the animals. And when I threw a chunk of hay over the fence, out of my mouth came these words. And he said, Henry, I'm going to tell you what to do. Two things. Number one, hang up the phone. And number two, get out there and do what you were doing. Amen. And I did. And this language, as crazy as it was, and you know, I mean, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Ask me to explain it. Just don't know how. Got no idea. All I know that out of my mouth was flowing these words. And that has happened to me since that day. I have not stopped. Hallelujah. Do you know the Word of God says pray without ceasing?
Yes.
Is that hard? If you're just saying your words, is it hard?
Yes.
But if you got the Holy Spirit, can I tell you something? It flows. It flows. And the more you use it, the more it flows. The more it flows, the more things. One day I was, my son was small and my wife had gone to work. And I had been laid off. I was laid off at the time, and I had just changed his diaper. I told you about the diapers I made, huh? Custom diapers. But anyway, I changed his diaper. No Pampers, but diapers. I changed his diaper, and I decided I'm going to pray for him. And I started praying, and out of my mouth, man, I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. And now I'm weeping and crying. And then I finally got done. I put him back in his bed. I go, man, he's going to be blessed, whatever. Praise God. At that time, the river was running. We couldn't get through where we crossed to Santa Cruz. My wife was driving my big truck, and she actually got run off the road that morning. And she called me when she got to work. Hey, it's a good thing I was in the truck. Big four-wheel drive thing, right? Good thing I was in the truck. She goes, a guy ran me off the road, and I got back on the road and come on to work. I knew what was happening. The Spirit was praying, even though I had no idea what was going on. The Spirit was praying because my wife was in danger. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 32 through 39. I'm going to finish this up. The Word of God says here in verse 32, it says, "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost." I want you to know, folks, that this is a promise gift to you. It really is. God has promised to give this to you. It's a gift. And it's like any other gift. I mean, if I'm walking toward my grandkids with a gift, it's out of my hands by having to say, "Hey, that's not yours." You know? They're eager to grab that gift. Isn't that right, Oscar? Them kids will grab a gift and say, "I'll take that. That's that for me." Yeah. This is a gift God is giving to His people that God has paid a price for. Amen? Jesus paid a price to get this to you. And then it says, "For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your foes thy footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" How many know? How many ever been in that place? What do I do? Praise God. Jonathan, can I get you to come and play? "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" You see that? Amen. Repent and be baptized. There used to be a man where I worked, and he would constantly tell me, "That gift is not for today." And I would say, "That's not what the Word of God says. Brother, you need to look at the Word of God says and quit listening to what people have told you." Know this, that people have their own ideas about this. And the fact of the matter is, you have to look at what God's Word says. Amen. Period. Amen? For anything. Is that right? Yeah. How many times have I said, "Don't believe me"? Don't believe me. What does the book say? The book says, hallelujah. And the very next verse says, "For the promise," verse 39, "is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off," amen? Amen? "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." How many of you are called in here today? I'm going to tell you, every one of you are called. Amen. You're called, and this gift is for you. Hallelujah. Now, whatever reason that some of you that have asked for the Holy Spirit and haven't got it, I just want to encourage you today that God is not teasing you. He wants you to have this gift. Amen. He loves you. Hallelujah. I kind of see the baptism in the Holy Spirit as a kind of a vortex. I mean, if how many of you know what a vortex? You know, ladies, when you pull that plug in your drain, you see everything kind of swirling, and it kind of things kind of get sucked into the center. Praying in the Spirit to me sometimes feels kind of like the things that God has for you are being drawn towards you because you're praying in the Spirit. The Word of God says it this way, that he that prays in the unknown tongue prays mysteries. Says that you pray according to the will of God when you're praying in the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, if there's any way to pray to me, is God, if there's any way to pray, is according to your will. Amen. Hallelujah. I can think about how to pray, but if I can just allow God to pray through me, hallelujah, just as he will talk through me. How many of you know that God talks through you? How many sometimes you'll be talking to a person and some of these words come and you remember a scripture and you tell them the scripture, God is speaking through you. It's the same thing, except that Sometimes you just don't understand what's being said. And that's okay. It's okay. It's not weird. Sometimes somebody might say it might feel weird. But it's not weird. It is a gift. And it's very valuable. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. What we talked about desire, it's got to be something that you want. Amen. God won't give it to you if you don't want it. Is that right? He will not. How many times have I said this to you? He will not force you. He never forces you. Doesn't force you to get saved. Doesn't force you to come to church. Doesn't force you to pray. He does not. He will not force you. It's got to be something that's got to come out of your heart that says, God, I just want to receive from you.